Tonight we read once again those words from Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to be reading the verses 45 through 50. And tonight we focus our attention just on that first verse, verse 45. From Matthew 27, beginning at verse 45, what we hear now is God's Word. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." Here we are in the reading of God's holy word. Well, as we remember the crucifixion, as we remember the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, there are so many events that go on at that crucifixion event. We have read of a number of them tonight. There is the temple's curtain being torn. There are the rocks being split open. There are Jesus' words from the cross. There are the jeers of the crowd. And we have this account in verse 45. "Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." 3 hours of darkness. And tonight, to remember what Christ did for us, we are going to focus on that particular verse, on that particular event on the crucifixion day. There were 3 hours of darkness. Now, some have tried to explain away these 3 hours of darkness as a natural event. These hours of darkness, children, are said to be from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Now, the way that they told time back then, that would be from noon until 3 in the afternoon. Tonight, as we came to church, the sun was going down, and probably by now it's dark outside. We expect it to be dark outside at this time. But when Jesus was being crucified, there was darkness from noon until 3 in the afternoon. Not the natural time, not the normal time, not the time that you would expect darkness. When you would expect light, when you would expect sun, on that crucifixion day, there was darkness over all the land. And some, trying to do away with the miraculous work of God, have tried to explain this in terms of natural events. Some suggest what was going on here was actually a solar eclipse. Now, for any of you who have been in a solar eclipse, there is a certain darkness that comes over the land when the solar eclipse took place. Perhaps this was an eclipse. The problem with that is that these events are taking place at the time of the Passover. And the Passover was connected with the new moon. And those of you who are aware of these astrological things about what's going on in astronomy, know that a solar eclipse only occurs with a full moon. And it never occurs with a new moon. This could not be a natural event. This could not be a solar eclipse. It simply couldn't have happened that way. Some have suggested that this darkness that came over the land was actually the darkness of one of the desert sandstorms. And again, for those of you who have perhaps been to the Southwest and have seen what it's like when a sandstorm comes in, there is a sense of darkness that comes over the land. In Israel, they're called the black sirocos. And the sand and the wind come in and everything gets dark. The problem with that is, the word the Holy Spirit gives us here to describe the darkness is not the word that they used to describe that event. It's a different thing. This was not a dust storm that came and covered the whole land. This was no natural event at all. It was a supernatural event brought about by God Himself. And as such, we need to look at this miraculous event and find the theological significance. Why darkness? Why 3 hours on the time that Jesus is being crucified? It's a remarkable event because of the participants in this event. God the Father is sending darkness over God the Son. God the Father. God the Father, who is connected with light, not darkness. From back in the Old Testament, we read all the way back in creation, at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the world was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And what did God do? God said, "Let there be light." He would dispel the darkness, for He is a God of light. When God revealed Himself in the Old Testament, it is revelation connected with light. When He came to His servant Abraham to make a covenant with him, how was God portrayed? Remember the story of Genesis 15, how Abraham is called to cut those animals in two. There's that bloody alley down the middle. And what goes down the alley? A fire pot and a torch. God represents Himself as light as He passes through the covenant pieces. We think of the Exodus from Egypt. How did God lead the people, children? What did He look like? A pillar of fire. God is light. That's how He represents Himself. On Sinai, when God's presence was there, what did they see? They saw lightning and fire on the top of the mountain. This is the picture God gives us of Himself. And when God places His presence both in the tabernacle and in the temple, what happens? The glory of the Lord is there. God images Himself as light, as brilliance, as glory. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1 tells us, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. God the Father is characterized by light. God the Son is characterized by light and by glory and by brilliance. Already in the announcement of Jesus' birth, what happened? God sent angels, glorious angels, to bring the message. They go to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. In the announcement of Christ's birth, already there is glory, brilliance, light, and the glory of angels. Jesus, when His coming is described by John, is described in terms of light. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to bear witness about the light. The true light, that is Jesus, the true light that enlightens every man, was coming into the world. Jesus' coming connected with light. Only a few chapters earlier in Matthew 17, we read the story of Jesus' transfiguration, the story up on the mountain. Matthew 17, and after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, His brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. His face shone like the sun, His clothes as white as light. Jesus, the Son, is connected with brilliance, with glory, with light. God the Father, the God of light. God the Son, the God of light. And yet here, the Father sends darkness. 3 hours of darkness upon His Son. What is the significance of God the Father sending darkness upon God the Son? Whereas God is light, darkness carries the significance of God's judgment on His enemies. Again, thinking back in the Old Testament, thinking back to the prophets, to the prophet Amos. In Amos chapter 8, verse 9, we read, "On that day, on the day of the Lord, on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." When God comes in judgment, He says there's going to be darkness. Darkness at noon. It's exactly what was taking place on that crucifixion day. Darkness at noon. Again from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation, to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity." God sends darkness as a picture of His punishment. God sends darkness as judgment upon His enemies. Think back to when God brought Israel out of Egypt. Before taking them out, there were those 10 plagues. Remember that, children? 10 plagues? What was the 9th plague that God sent? God sent darkness. 3 days of darkness over Egypt. A darkness that Moses says was a darkness that could be felt. It was the darkness of God's judgment upon those who would oppose Him. For 3 days, God's judgment and God's darkness was over the land of Egypt. Here we have the judgment of God, the darkness of God, for 3 hours upon Jesus. That is not a lessening of the intensity, that is a heightening. In Egypt, it was 3 days of God pouring His wrath out. Here, all of the wrath of God poured out in 3 hours. We read nothing else about what took place. There is silence. But for 3 hours, the fullness of God's wrath poured out upon His Son. 3 hours of darkness. That 9th plague in Egypt led to the final plague, the death of the firstborn of God's enemies. On the cross, the 3 hours of darkness, the 3 hours of judgment lead to the death of the firstborn of God Himself. The wrath and the punishment of God poured out on Jesus Christ. There were 3 hours of darkness. And the amazing thing about God recounting this event for us is that those 3 hours of darkness, that judgment poured out on Christ, was a judgment not that He deserved, but a judgment that we deserved. We were the ones who had offended God. We were the ones who had sinned against Him. We were the ones who had broken His law. But rather than God pouring out the fullness of His wrath and the darkness on us, He put 3 hours of darkness on His Son that we might know life and light and love. God poured out His wrath there on Christ that we might live in the light, that we might know the joy of His love, the glories of His grace, that we might live a life not walking around in the darkness of sin, but living in the light of God's love. Tonight, we come to the Lord's table, a table that reminds us of life and being strengthened and the walk that we have with God. God sent 3 hours of darkness, a shroud over His Son, Jesus Christ, a shroud that meant blessing for all of us, His children. For we don't live in the fear now of the darkness of judgment and punishment. We live in the glory of the light of God's love. We live with the presence of His Holy Spirit. We come to take and eat and drink and be strengthened for life. Not a symbol of our judgment and punishment, but strengthening by God to walk with Him in the daylight, in the light of His love. God sent 3 hours of darkness. Darkness upon Jesus. Blessing for us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we are amazed at the events of the crucifixion. We are amazed and overwhelmed at what You were doing there. And we are amazed that You, a God of light, would pour out Your wrath on the light of the world, that You would send darkness for 3 hours. Lord God, may we never forget that we were the ones who deserved that judgment. We were the ones who deserved that punishment. But Christ took it for us. He liberated us from death and from darkness. He brought us into the kingdom of light. May we tonight, the rest of this week, the rest of our lives, rejoice in what You have done for us. We don't walk in the dark. We walk in the light. Accept our praise, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.